Wealth Within offers a range of investment and educational services to help you secure your financial future. Whether you're an aspiring trader or simply want to increase the strength of your portfolio, Wealth Within are dedicated to maximising your investment returns.
Welcome to Talking Wealth. I'm Blake Sterling, analyst and assessor at Wealth Within. Today I'd like to have a chat with you about the issues we've been seeing recently relating to the banks and rising interest rates. As you're probably aware, there's more and more anger pointed towards banks of late regarding interest rates, and this uproar has really come to a head recently with the Commonwealth Bank's 45 basis point rise over the Melbourne Cup holiday. And then we had ANZ this week announce they were raising their rates by 39 basis points. So with this subject so firmly planted in the public eye, it's really good to see the government and ASIC taking measures to ban high-cost loan exit fees. But in saying that, I believe there's much more that needs and can be done to not only appease consumers, but also put much-needed faith back into the home loan system. To me, there are two key components of home loans in the banking system in general that are in desperate need of review. And the first is the actual structure of loans currently on offer. I was recently reading a really interesting article from Jeremy Cooper, who some of you may know is the chairman on the superannuation review system. And what he was basically saying in his article was that perhaps what we should look at doing with our current home loan system is maybe reflect some aspects of the US system. Now, obviously, we don't want to use the same products, as we know where that got the Americans. However, in the US, homeowners can opt for long-term fixed rates over the life of their mortgage. In other words, rather than variable being the default option, the fixed rate is actually the default option, and you would just be paying the interest at that fixed rate over the 25-year plus course of the loan. So this effectively puts interest rate risk straight onto the bank rather than the customer, and obviously also provides a heightened level of transparency for consumers as they know each and every month how much they have to pay over the time frame of the loan. Now, I'm not here to say this is a perfect product solution, and by no means am I a banking expert, but again, I think this is a good beginning for some sort of reform. But again, you know, although cutting exit fees is a start, in my mind, it's not really a solution to the problem we have at hand, which includes the structure of such loans. So, you know, whilst we're looking at exit fees, why not also look at break fees? For instance, if you've entered into a fixed rate loan and you want to switch to variable, why should break fees be paid? I mean, particularly if you're restructuring your loan with the same bank. You know, and even if you were looking to refinance with another bank, why pay the exorbitant fees to sort of break the loan? You know, you may be paying somewhere around 10, 20, 30,000 to break that particular loan, so that the, you know, you're basically paying out the interest left over on that loan. Surely there must be a fee that's a lot fairer, and given the government is looking to establish this new reform because they find that the fees aren't fair, maybe we could look at changing some of these fees. Like, let's just say, for example, looking at, rather than paying the full amount of the interest, why not look at paying, say, 3 months worth or 6 months worth or something like that, just to bring that cost down. Again, I think by doing something like this, we could see the door open up to more competition, which is desperately needed in our banking system, and is really the second component I believe needs to be reviewed. So with allowance for customers to sort of change loans and loan structures at no or low fee base, to me, that allows the larger and smaller banks to really fight it out for customers. And also incentives could then be offered, such as, you know, the banks offering to maybe offset break fees or something along that line. Also for increased competition, particularly from smaller banks and the non-banks, to really get back on track where they were prior to the GFC, steps have to be taken to look at the current state of the residential mortgage-backed securities, which is how banks and non-banks fund mortgages. You see, the higher cost of such funds post-GFC has pretty much pushed a lot of these smaller guys out of the picture. And this is where I believe the government really needs to look at how they can change this around and even work with the banks. I mean, rather than, again, what we've seen of late, everyone's arguing each other and pointing fingers about who's to blame, Why don't we get them both to work together and really work out a solution, again, by looking at how the banks are actually getting or putting together this funding for mortgages. You know, perhaps both parties could look at restructuring funding sources to an extent where, say, higher costs to smaller banks or non-banks are offset. Perhaps like the government guarantees, which we saw during the GFC, and perhaps this could put small lenders on a more level playing field with the big guys. Like I said before, I'm not saying that this is a perfect solution. However, steps must be taken in this fashion to find more effective solutions, particularly in light of the huge housing shortage Australia is forecast to have over the coming years. We must have easier and more affordable access to funds so as to promote increased construction. Thanks for listening today. I'm Blake Sterling, and that's been Talking Wealth.
Talking Wealth was brought to you by Wealth Within. To learn how you too can maximise your investment returns, call 1300 ShareTrade.